Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch two sabotage films. One starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, one starring TBC. Ooh, classic DeMarc Dacascos. On today's There Can Be Only One podcast. Welcome to the There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the exact same name. Tell one of those movies they can't have that name anymore, based off of what we watched. My name is Robert Rowe, and joining me today are...
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
And...
Mike, just regular name honorary.
Oh, we got a special one today, guys, because it turns out that this might be our last Mark Dacascos film we get to watch, according to this the list. He, ever since we watched Drive... He's been one of those guys where, like, I completely forgot about him because it feels like he's sold out. Like, he's now just doing Iron Chef stuff now. But for a long period of time, he made direct-to-DVD films that were actually fun to watch. And he especially made Brotherhood of the Wolf, which introduced the entire world to Monica Bellucci and her lovely, lovely breast. Now I remember her name. So it took me a while to remember her name. It took me four episodes for it to finally spit out, like, oh, that's her name. So... Yeah. Have you seen, either other than what we have watched so far, watched anything with Mark Dacascos in it that you have said, this is the next big star?
Yes, more of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No.
Was he in that?
Yes, the series. He played a bad guy, a henchman, but he's really old now.
I don't know. He's aged pretty well.
Yeah, but I know it's something else that when we watched it, I said, oh, yeah, he was in that. But I think he came kind of late into the game as far as, like, that that action star kind of feel, like, you know.
I think he did a lot of B stuff for a while to where you didn't notice him. That's what it was. He was always there, just because he was at last. He was kind of like this at this time where there was the end of these karate movies,
yeah.
You know, and the beginning of these new karate movies. This weird void in between the two. So I think he just kind of slipped into the cracks, and like you've seen him, but you mm-hmm. never know his name.
I think we wanted authenticity. Like, he looks the part. But he's really American, you know, he's from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But he kind of got in the game, like, when Jet Li, Jackie Chan,
Brandon Lee,
Sammy mm-hmm. Hung, they was coming over with the, you know, authentic shit. And right. They was like, man, we don't want this fake American knockoff wannabe Bruce Lee.
Yeah, he was kind of a knockoff, especially after Jason Lee. Jason Lee, the guy who did the Dragon
Brandon.
Movie.
Brandon. Oh, Jason Lee.
The one who did the...
That might have been the one that set it off. Because right. I remember seeing that in theaters, thinking, like, there's a guy right there that could easily become the next big thing. And what did he do? The Jungle Book next?
Yeah, is
that
he was what he Mowgli. Did?
Ooh, yeah.
After that.
Damn,
yeah,
what a bad career.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But, no, Mark Dacascos, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff over the years. I never really knew how to pronounce his name even properly until, like...
I still don't. That's why I still don't.
Dukakis? Is that Michael Dukakis's... Yeah. Olivia Dukakis' nephew?
Yep, exactly.
If that were the case, he just changed... He put a couple... I took the K out, put a C. Changed a little bit to make it different, but... No, it's...
In this film, he drives in a tank and he puts the thumbs up. He's nice. Like, yeah.
And he runs it through a drug cartel.
And now, like, the new generation today, if they watch this show, he's known for being the nephew of the... founder of Iron Chef, because he's on Iron Chef America.
Is he actually the nephew of the founder?
No, that's just awesome. Something they put
it's
up.
It's fine. I'll tell that live till I die. That'd be fine.
Listen mm-hmm. to this all-star cast in Sabotage. You got Mark Dacascos, Carrie Ann Moss, Tony Todd.
We're talking pre-Matrix,
Tony
right?
Todd.
Yeah.
Pre-Matrix.
Pre-Matrix, yeah. Graham Greene, you probably remember him from... He's the Indian dude that appeared in both Maverick and Dances with Wolves. He was like the best friend, and John Neville, who was Baron Munchausen. He was So these five people are in it. The plot description is: former special service agent plays an intricate game of chess involving several federal agencies. Queen takes pawn.
That's in the description. Yeah,
yeah, that's all it says. And this one was a direct to DVD. And as far as I can tell, most people have budget was at $5 million. It made nothing. According to this, it just had filming dates on here. It didn't even bother telling what exactly it made overseas. So who cares? We're going to watch this, and we're going to... Oh, movie with the best tagline ever. Oh, here's the tagline. The dark heart of the Black Ops beats to a secret agenda. Sabotage.
Oh, shit. They should just, that should just be, that's the tagline. They're right, accurate.
Okay.
They I just made that the title of the movie.
I was just looking at some of the stuff that I know him from.
Yeah.
The first movie I could remember him in that's the earliest is Only the Strong. I don't know if you watched that, you know, HBO or Cinemax. It kept on replaying. And then he did Double Dragon, which, you know video game into a movie at that time was a bad choice. Cause
a video game to a movie is a lot of bad.
Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, they were just some bad, good video games, bad movies.
Now, here's the thing. Okay, Street Fighter was god-awful.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat was actually okay.
Mortal Kombat was okay.
Okay.
It was fine. Like,
the sequel was awful.
No, it was terrible. But the first one was fine. It had all the elements that made you excited for the video game. Like, it had a background of finish him and all this stuff. And you got to see the ones you liked who were just as comical as they were in the game doing live stuff. And that was cool. But, like, Street Fighter, they destroyed all of that. Like, once I found out that Jean-Claude Van Damme was Guile, I was like, no.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah.
And then Raul Julia, I'm sorry that was his last movie. But maybe he just died from, I gotta be M. Bison. No.
No, I mean, Guile, when we used to play Street Fighter, me and my friends, we used to talk about the movie version. The only person we all agreed that should play Guile was Dolph Lundgren. That's the only, even though we know he's not American, like, the obvious choice.
Well, he had to. Because he was built like him, kind of. Yeah. Well, all of them. Dolph Lundgren's always been way more. He always looked like a video game character anyway, just from the time he was Drago. But
I mean, you didn't think about it, though. Motherfucker got IQ out the choice, and he's built like that. Like, come on, man. Like, shit, you can't have both.
Dolph Lundgren's a scary, perfect human specimen. Like, oh, no, I'm like a rocket scientist, literally. Uh-huh. And my body's the best you've ever seen. He still looks great, too.
Right, yeah. He's smart enough to realize that he wanted to be in movies because he was going to get more chicks that way. Because not just being, like, a big buff dude was enough. He needed to be able to get every chick out.
But also, just, like, he's one of these people who's in great shape because of intelligence. Like, he knows how to work each muscle group. It's like a science to him. So he's his own experiment of how to do this and this. It's not like, he's not like some meathead who just goes and lifts iron until he gets swole. He's just like, nah, if I do this.
Straight those legs! Straight those legs!
Yeah, he's like, if I do this many reps, if I eat this right food. He's his own experiment.
Okay.
So it's this weird, he's his own science experiment. That's how intelligent he is to an insane level.
I must break you
into
a consistent workout.
I will do legs.
And then do not skip leg day.
And like, I guess by me being such a movie fanatic, I was, you know, watching The Expendables 2. And I was with my date, and I was like, when they got stuck in their mind, he came up with the whole equation to make an explosion and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I started laughing. I said, what you laughing? I said, because I say he actually could do this in real life. And she was looking at me like, what you mean? I said, what? No, I said, this motherfucker's smart. I said, like, he got a degree in this shit, the master's and shit.
Yeah, a couple
and she
degrees.
Was, and she was looking at me like, the Russian from Rocky, really? Yeah. She didn't believe me, but anyway. Well,
You know what film Mark Dacascos is in? The Extendables.
Is that the porn version?
It must be.
Okay.
He's in the porn? I respect that. Like, he doesn't have to. You know what? I'd love to be a famous actor who was in porn. I'm not going to do the porn, but I'd like to just be like a background.
Patrick Wahlberg is in this
after
thing.
If Brad Pitt showed up in some seedy ass porn version of one of his movies.
Yeah.
But like, he's not fucking some randoms. He's just background, or he has a line, just like
that kid from Christmas Story that kept appearing in
Peter Billingsley.
Yeah, the one from the toy that he eventually did a porn, but like for the longest time he would just show up as like that guy who's like, oh, what's going on in here? Yeah. I wish I was a part of here 20 minutes ago.
Just like, yeah, without doing like the corny porn acting, the porny acting.
Right.
Just showing up in a movie like The Extendables, Mark Dacascos was in it, just being the same character, just not fucking, just in the background in a weird diner or like at the pool. Or be like the owner of the mansion. It's like,
man, that pizza guy is late. What is he doing?
And they cut scenes of him fighting people, and then they cut back to scenes of people DPing each other.
That's fine. All right, cool. So we're going to go watch Sabotage, and we'll be right back, guys. I don't know how much of a trailer we're going to be able to find on here because I couldn't find one on it, but We'll probably put something in here. Probably be more of the song Sabotage. We'll see.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, what song is you going to be opening this show?
Oh, I wonder what.
Yeah,
you
know, like,
all right, let's go watch
it. All right.
Er ging durch eine harte Schule und brachte es bis an die Spitze des CIA.
Ich habe das getan, was man mir befohlen hat.
Now we're back. Yay. Oh, boy. So we watched the Mark Dacascos gem, hidden gem, as always, that he does.
Okay.
Called Sabotage. This one wasn't as good as Drive.
No, it wasn't.
No, it didn't play up the silly factor, although Tony Todd gave 110% in this movie. He definitely doesn't play enough bad guys. Sometimes he's been playing like the stoic figure or just somebody like Mike referenced him in The Rock, where he was just like one of those guys that was like a grunt, which is a shame because he does such a great job being an asshole on film that you feel like he should be more of these things. This one, he was definitely more like the cold, calculated killer more than anything.
I mean, I liked him in the Final Destination films, but he was kind of like the sage slash dat figure.
Right.
You know, like, the teens just to come to him for advice, like, how can we get out of this? Oh, well, let me tell you about this, you know, and this and that, but that will always keep on coming for you.
Right.
You know, all that stuff. So, yeah.
But you got to have those kind of... It's somebody who has the knowledge to move the story along also.
Right.
You got to have that. But he's good for that. He has that character trait of just being like, oh, you kid's in trouble. Let me see if I can help. But watch out. Like, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good for him.
Yeah, he could have been the old guy in Pet Sematary telling people about, like, what happens when you bury people in this land that is now... I mean, it'll bring him back to life, but it won't be the way that you expected
it. Man, wasn't Cade was the worst villain? Like, Cade was a bad motherfucking Pet Cemetery.
People, you know, I'm freaked out, and that's the kid from Kindergarten Cop and all that.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that was a bad fucking...
He freaks people out. Like, a lot of people, you know what, especially black folks. Especially black, because I was talking to somebody a week ago about it, like, Pet Cemetery, that was my movie. Cade, though. Oh, man. Like, they were scared, like, as a kid, because it's the kid. I'm like, that's that kid. Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
For those of you that haven't seen this Sabotage, we'll go over the plot very simply. Mark Dacascos is a special soldier-like guy that he has been assigned in Serbia to rescue these hostages. But Tony Todd screws the whole thing up, blows up the building, kills all the hostages, and they blame everything on Dacascos. 3 years later, we jump 3 years later, their paths cross again, and of course he's protecting some people that Tony Todd is trying to blow up in the process. And you get to see some sweet bullet time before bullet time existed, because here comes Carrie Ann Moss, who is a special agent in this, who is trying to run this investigation. I'm the investigation here. And Mark Dacascos is like, well, let me help you out. But very platonic sort of way, because there's nothing going to go on between us.
Yeah, right.
We're going to establish this. It's almost like Schwarzenegger and who was the other person in Eraser? She was the...
Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Williams, yeah. Right. We're just going to look at each other and shake hands afterwards. That's as far as we're going to go. So the whole thing involves them being herpes. Almost like a cat and mouse sort of situation. And then there's undercover problem, and then there's other... like it gets too convoluted a little bit in who was double-crossing who in this film. But one of the things we did notice a lot is everybody had some weird-ass chess reference in this thing. So you had the main character whose last name is Castle... And then you had another dude named Bishop, and they kept calling each other pawns and knights. And
you had a couple queens.
You
keep mixing them up. Castle was Carrie Ann Moss' character.
Oh, sorry.
Bishop was the main character.
Oh, all right, fine.
Yeah, the Dacascos.
That's why they can never match up. One will only move straight ahead or to the side. The other one's going diagonal.
Yeah, and then the queen was running everything. Yeah, and by queen, I mean it was a gay dude. Like, for real. Like, that's
kind of Elton John's time. But
no, I mean, but like he was an elder statesman kind of homosexual male. Like he had his own boy toy slash bodyguard who was a pretty little.
He was Ian McKellen, basically.
He was in a wheelchair. Like he lived his life, and he's just now. This is the end of it. He's got one last thing. He's had all the fun and all the evil he could have in his life.
How about, like, God Save the Queen? That seems like a good title. Like
God Save... Okay, yeah.
Or I'm trying to think
God
of something...
God Kill the Queen.
God Killed... Ooh. Yeah, that could be it. The Queen is Dead.
The Bitch is Back. I'm just making more fucking making Elton John references while I'm here. I see that monster. Oh, hold on, yeah. And, no, we just got distracted because Robert's cat is over us.
Her fucking head.
She put her head in the bag of food. She was like, well, I guess I'll... Like, no, the cat was really had her whole head in the bag of food. Just like, you're not going to eat this, right?
She not only had her head, she had a paw in there just trying
to scoop. Well, it was for scooping. She was shoveling food into her face.
She full of none, though. She walking away.
Oh, God, that was good.
Not embarrassed about that whatsoever.
No, it's a cat. The cat knows, like, the cat can eat your food. You can't eat the cat food. The cat knows that. Like, it's all me. So I'm just going to go ahead and dig in. Hope you don't mind.
Can't eat cat food?
I mean, like, you can, but you gotta mix it into stuff. You make, like, potted meat sandwiches or something.
Grab it and, you know, scoop it up like M&M's.
This is like the trail mix. It's hard. Try it with some milk. Not bad. Sometimes I've had hard days.
Right. So this sabotage, there's nothing wrong with it. It is a perfectly acceptable, almost like an 80s action film as opposed to 90s. This was made in 96.
That's what surprised me. It was more of a... I would expect if it were 88, 89 film.
Right.
Because it has that kind of like, well, the karate movies are done. Is that the right term for it, karate movies?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't really that much karate in this bitch.
But it had that vibe without the karate.
Oh, and a great scene on a skating rink involving a Zamboni going out of control and using the hockey players as hostages throughout the whole thing.
It was, like you brought up, it was an all-female hockey team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird reference that you can't, you don't do as much now. It's like, well, if he's going to have a hostage, she's got to be a lady, right?
Right, right.
So, like, if I was a hockey player and some dude grabbed me and put a gun to my head, I'm going to be just as freaked out as anybody else. But they had to have it be a female.
Right.
Like, that's okay. No, whatever. I mean, it was 96, so what are you going to do? It's 20 years ago.
That's true.
What's his name? He has held up very well.
Right. Oh, totally. And so Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah,
like, Carrie Ann Moss is, she was one of those people that probably hit her peak when she was in her mid-30s. Like, she's definitely been in movies, but her big films didn't happen until later in her career.
Right. The most recent thing, Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
I was going to bring it up, boy. She was really...
Yeah, no, Carrie Ann Moss in that was... Yeah. Yeah, she's gone full lesbian.
That was great.
But she looks so good now. I think she's more attractive now than ever.
Right. I think she reminds me a lot of, like, Sigourney Weaver on a career path, where you have someone that has changed her look but still managed to maintain the same level of, I guess, I want to say attractiveness at the same time as like her roles are being the same. It wouldn't surprise me if she's in tons more sci-fi stuff as her career goes.
See, now I want to see more. Now I want to see movies with like the Expendables, but with women. And then you have Sigourney Weaver. Pull Gina Davis out.
Yeah,
be Carrie Ann Moss. Like, this whole type.
Like, I tell everybody, I like Gina Davis back in the
Susan
day.
Susan Sarandon would be good.
Yeah,
I actually like The Cutthroat Island. I do like Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight is still one of my favorite movies ever. It was the first movie I ever saw at Tinseltown in Baton Rouge. And it was 97, I think.
Yeah.
I watched Long Kiss Goodnight right now, and it'll still be one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, Shane Black film. It's awesome.
Yeah, Shane Black. Yeah. All the characters were great in there.
Yeah, and it was probably one of the few Rennie Harlan films that you could say is good, because he did Cutthroat Island after that, which is
but
nuts.
He did Mission Impossible.
I hate for anybody to tell
me. No, he didn't.
He did. He did the Metallica video for Mission Impossible.
That he did do.
Yeah.
He did one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets. I think it's the fourth one. That was like the first thing he did.
If you like Pirates of the Caribbean, then you got to like Cutthroat Island. Like, you can't come
on. Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Maybe I'm in the minority.
It was a good time for Gina Davis. Like, they were trying to ride that wave of Long Kiss getting, like, female action, and it's fine.
They were married at the time. That's why it was we were talking earlier about Resident Evil, like, having that partnership in Underworld. They were married, so it was like, we want to work together. and this relationship will always be together. So
let's immortalize sure that, it in film.
Yeah, and it turns out that it like that film tore them apart. Like that's why they got divorced. Like that was one of the reasons they just couldn't take each other anymore because of that. Nobody's really learned their lesson on these things. But definitely no real sign of this being sabotage. So this might be a layup for the other film that we're watching here.
Right.
No. Unless they totally screw it up. There's not a lot of sabotaging happening. This is more we're probably going to spend the next hour and a half or so while we're watching the Arnold Schwarzenegger film trying to come up with a better title than something like Queen Takes Queen or something to that degree. we're just coming up with stupid chess titles at this point. It's a shame we can't use Pawn Sacrifice because that's a film with that came out recently about Bobby Fischer starring Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
Came out last year.
Never heard of it.
It's probably the last film that Tobey Maguire's done because he's just that face that nobody wants to hire anymore. He's just got that look.
Him and Topher Grace are just in a hole somewhere.
Yeah. They're both remaking Star Wars films. That's what
they're remaking Spider-Man films that they were actually in. They're doing it in their basement now.
Yeah, they could. And so that was the first thing I thought. I was like, damn, that's actually that'd be a pretty decent title for this.
I think chess references are always more impressive when they're not actually referring to chess.
We can just call it King Me. I know it's checkers, but
no, what?
But the other one that we came up with was Lucky Seven. I think was another one because that was the number of times they pointed out that that Mark Dacascos had been shot in this film by Tony Todd.
He shot him seven times, and he's fine.
Still two more lives left because he's a cat. Yeah. We find that late in the film. He's really into cats. The musical.
Super into not he hates animals.
Yeah, of
only
course.
Human forms.
Yeah.
Mr. Mistopheles.
Why would you? So, we're going to go watch the other one, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
It's interesting, though, because I only seen one Arnold Schwarzenegger film since he left office in California, which is the one with him and Johnny Knoxville.
The Last Stand.
The Last Stand. That's the only one I've seen. I mean, I don't count The Expendables because that's not really his film. But
wow, Sam Worthington's in this thing.
But, like, really? he haven't really did that much acting since he left office.
I mean, because he's pushing 70.
Oh, my bad. I did see Terminator Genesis.
Okay. I didn't watch that.
Yeah. You didn't?
I didn't. I meant to. I haven't watched anything after.
I ain't gonna lie. It is confusing as fuck because it's one of them I like time paradox movies.
I don't.
And it's one of them time paradox movies that you went back in time, you changed the timeline, but the timeline you changed went back in the time and changed the timeline again. It's like, what the fuck happened?
See, those when it start. Yeah, when that's my. I like time movies, but the one. What happens is they start. Not making sense. It's the time paradox you hit on. All
right, I have seen Escape Plan. That is it. Though, just looking at the list right now, it's you can include in Expendables 2, Last Stand, Escape Plan, Sabotage, Expendables 3, Maggie, and Terminator Genesis. Maggie was a zombie film that he was in. That was kind of a low budget thing that he made with Chloe. Abigail Breslin, I think, is who was the girl in this. His daughter becomes a zombie, and he's trying to protect her.
Well, okay. I don't know if Robert looked it up.
Yeah, it is Abigail Breslin.
If he didn't look this up, though, how many acting credits you think Arnold Schwarzenegger have, Andre?
Just in
on IMDb, how many credits they gave him for acting in film?
Because they're going to give him all the old. I'd put it somewhere between like 50 and 60.
You close? You
got 59 is what it was on here. Yeah, I looked it up. Sorry. Yeah. Does not include a lot of the stuff whenever he's a bodybuilder. Was that at
right? That's what surprised me. I was actually thinking like 65, but I was wondering if they included that.
Mm-hmm. But it includes three films in production or four, excuse me, Triplets, which has been in production forever.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy?
That's not happening. The Legend of Conan. Aftermath.
Were you talking about they're making a new Conan?
Yeah. He's going to be King Conan. That's the one I'd heard of for a while.
And his Pump, Lamentations
a
of
TV
the Women.
TV series called Pump.
It was in Two and a Half Men, which I did not realize, well as Family Guy. So
yeah, that's voice work. Of course he's going to be in that.
Yeah, and they don't credit his Mobile Strike commercials, unfortunately.
Son of a bitch.
Well, he ain't doing anything else. Give him credit for something.
He's doing fine. He's done fine. He was a governor for two terms.
Yeah, if you say that's fine, I mean...
He got elected. The way
I don't think president's going to happen for various reasons.
The way Californians can elect people is you don't need the majority. You just need to have the most votes based off of everybody else that's running. And the first time he ran against like 50 other people. Right. He only got like 20-some.
One was Gary Coleman he ran against.
Yeah, he only got like 20-some percent of the vote, but it was still enough. They don't do like runoffs like they do here, so he just won.
Out of these 30 people, there were 30 votes.
Yeah.
And
when it was a porn star,
two guys voted for you. Two people voted for you.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Good thing his wife voted for him. That's
But that wouldn't happen now.
Yeah, he still had the Kennedy name behind him.
Yeah. And then he got reelected again, I think. But that was like a short term that he did the first one.
Well, I mean, California's
first term, he filled in for Gary Davis was the
Gary Coleman, that's correct.
Yeah. No, Gray Davis. Gray Davis was the governor. He got recalled. And Erna won that election that serve out his remaining term. Then he had one more term to go, but, you know, that's it. The term limit is over there. It's two terms, even though he served out the remainder of Gray Davis' term.
But it's still just like, California's always done that. I mean, Sonny Bono wasn't he their governor?
He was governor?
He was a senator.
Ronald Reagan Ronald was the governor of that. But I know Sonny Bono was
Sonny Bono was senator of Colorado?
I thought he was a U.S. rep.
I thought he was somebody. I'm thinking of
U.S. representative is not that. I mean, well, it's hard to get elected to it, but it's not that hard like a senator is. A senator, you know, you got to get like a majority of the state vote and shit.
It's just one of California has had celebrity.
Yeah.
Well, California was House of Representatives.
Yeah, but you think about House of Representatives, you get a lot of ex-athletes, ex-movie stars who, like, you know, like Tom Osborne was, Coach Osborne was.
He was also Mayor Palm Springs.
He was a mayor. He had a higher position.
He sure was a U.S. representative.
Mm-hmm. It's because you're a celebrity. You have a face. Yeah. You're really trying to do some good, or at least still be in the public eye in some way.
Right.
And you can do it with that because people know you. That's House of Representatives is just based on what people know of.
Yeah, you either announce football games or you become a senator. Yep. those are your two options. But now we're gonna watch a post governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with a group of decent actors. In a movie that cost $35 million and only made $10 million, which has been the track record.
Was this released in the movies or at all?
Oh yeah,
if it made $10 million, yes.
I never heard of this movie.
Well, we're about to watch it.
Yeah, you heard of it today. We're gonna watch it today.
Yeah, let's go watch it. All right. Yeah.
Yo. Morning, boss.
Get your weapons. Let's go.
You put the shirt on.
It does kind of look like a dick.
Dude. Free out. I'm the judge. Don't blow your balls off.
Don't worry, they're made of grass.
Are they as big as your wife's? Go, go, go!
Cover your sides.
Door.
Target down!
Yes, Matt.
Down!
Clean up aisle three.
In what we do, there is only trust.
The heart and soul of this
team. Because
we're back! Forgive what Rob was saying. We're back now.
Because I've seen it. Second Sabotage, this one starring a whole bunch of people. We looked up to make sure they were exactly those people. Because it's one of those type of movies that you think, oh, big time cast. Totally would have made a lot of money in theaters. I kind of understand why it didn't.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
This is a long string of films that have been about the Mexican cartel. And it's direct pipeline into Atlanta, Georgia, which is nowhere near like any of the borders. But you have Arnold Schwarzenegger leading a team of ragtag muffins out into the world. It turns out like his whole family died from a cartel. There's $10 million missing. Cartel's after them, after the money. He's after the cartel. There's other people involved. And there is buckets of blood. Like in Adam's Family, the first one, Adam's Family, whenever Wednesday and Pugsley had that stage play and he slits the throat and it just gushes out blood into the front. That's basically what happened in this film.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone died, piles of it.
It was an unexpected amount of blood. Like I know I'm getting older in life and like I could still handle violence. This was an unexpected amount of violence and blood.
Right.
Kind of out of left field. There was no build-up to it. Like, it had every feel of, like, an action movie where you'll see a bullet hit and you'll see, like, a little blood splatter. But you don't see just truckloads of blood and violence people being just gutted.
Stuff that you would normally see in like a horror production. Like you would,
absolutely.
Yeah, that was more the feel, because it had, you would think this was almost going to be like a buddy cop sort of film, in that you had a group of guys together and they just locker room talked their entire lives. So it was like, hey, we're buddies for life. But by the end of it, it just kind of devolved into a whole bunch of running into things and blowing up stuff and all sorts of great things. You haven't said anything, Herman. Come on, what you got?
No, I'm just saying the movie was all over the place, because, like, a lot of blood. I mean, you cut yourself with a butter knife in this movie, and you might bleed a pint of blood out or something. I mean,
even like, the first, like, it was violent when they were going through and raiding the place and getting the money. It was violent, but they were fighting bad guys. But there's a scene where, like, the part of their team, the first guy dies from a train hitting his trailer. But the train, if you watch it, the train, it didn't like just explode like in a movie where the train cuts it in half. It rams it and it slides it down the track.
Right.
And the guy's just kind of tossed around in it. Now, I expect him to be dead. But when they cut to the body, it is in multiple locations, in multiple pieces, in multiple piles of destruction. There's an arm here, there's fingers here, there's a pile of glob that was this man.
It looked like a family of raccoons got a hold of it before the police got there. Maybe just say, lunch!
Maybe we could do a science project and get somebody to volunteer for us to put their trailer on the train tracks and let the train run over them.
We'll get a drunk-ass hobo.
Sounds like a Mythbusters.
Yeah. That'd be, I think if a train hit you straight on, sure. Even if the train would have cut the trailer in half. It's just the setup for what they showed happening and the end result, which is way too far apart.
Yeah.
There's no way.
And then the guy getting nailed to the ceiling of his place.
With his guts hung like vines and Tarzan.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And not too many movies make me do this, but like we watched a movie earlier, Frozen, when he jumped off the thing, and we all was like, oh, no.
This is not the Disney Frozen. There was a horror film where three people were stuck on a ski lift, and one person's bright idea was, hey, I'm just going to jump down there. Yeah. It's nice soft snow. It's not a problem.
Nope.
But this movie had two back-to-back parts where the man trying to get away from Arnold Schwarzenegger, he hits a person on the bike in the windshield, and blood, of course, spatters everywhere. We're like, oh. And then all of a sudden, he can't see no more. So he runs into the back of a flatbed tow truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like one of the moments, like, you just can't help but go, whoa, you know?
No, I had a couple of, oh, shit. Oh, wow. Like, I didn't.
Yeah, that was in the inner city where you can barely go above 40. And they hit that thing going 50 plus. Into that,
and by that thing you mean the bicyclist?
Yeah, the bicyclist too. No, I meant the trailer,
the flatbed.
Yeah, the flatbed. That or wherever. They hit the bicyclist going 50. Mind you, still wearing a helmet, not even close to being alive after that hit.
No, I mean there was a splatter enough to cover the entire windshield.
So fuck her helmets.
Yeah, hey.
I don't wear no fucking helmets. They're a dad trap. If she didn't have a helmet, she probably would have made it.
Totally.
I think the helmet helped keep her brain.
To be alive long enough. Yeah, but to be alive long enough to see where you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like at that point, I'd rather be dead.
Yeah.
I'd rather have my brain. Yeah, she'd have had another second, she'd have taken a helmet
but
off.
I see why this movie didn't do too well, because I don't think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a good in this movie, I say he's a bad guy in this movie, and I don't think that's the vehicle that you need for Arnold Schwarzenegger to be in.
Everybody was a bad guy.
Yeah, there was a coat of gray on everyone. There wasn't a black or white on this. This was, people had their ulterior motives when it came to $10 million, which is a decent amount of money. We're not talking Brewster's Millions levels of wealth here, but decent enough to where you can influence some people, I guess, in probably one of the weirdest exchanges near the end of the film, where Arnold Schwarzenegger's stacking up money in front of the dude just to grab a already available Nella envelope right on his side.
Yeah.
It's not even filed. Like, he knew this guy was coming, and he just put it over there to the side. It's like, okay, let's see how much I can get out of him. And it turns out,
without saying a word.
Yes.
If I stare long enough, and he just starts stacking more money on his desk. Yes.
Oh, it could have Tetris off his desk, too. That could have he stacks it, and then it gets to 11, then it disappears. Like, oh, damn it, I got too greedy.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. Now, if I was in Mexico, living off a Mexico police salary, and somebody would just put one stack of those stacks in front of me, I'd have been like, oh, hold on. I give you a name. I go kill him for you, too. Like,
yeah, we'll do our job.
This dude made him put out the whole $10 million on the table. I'm like, shit.
The thought, at least what I guess they were trying to portray, was that they're already bought out by the cartel. So you're going to have to pay a lot in order to get them to rat out a cartel that would easily kill you, your family.
If you can outbid the cartel.
I guess that's the thing. Like, how much money you gonna take in order for you to get away? Because the cartel find out you double-crossed them, they're coming after you and your whole family.
And that has been the new villain that they have no problem. Like, Hollywood has no problem talking about how evil the Mexican cartel is. There are plenty of observations you can see on film with them being the bad guys. Any other nationality, it could be a problem because you're dealing with a market where you can make some money.
Right. They don't talk about like the Yakuza as much or the Chinese
market? Triads.
Triads, right. They don't talk about them because China, they play your movie, you're going to do pretty well. But like the Mexican, they don't give a shit about Mexico.
They don't. Back in the day, they used to be, coked out Colombians. They used to be like a stereotype.
You know what? They put those. Don't think they'll put all those in the same category still.
Okay.
It's below the border, drug-running Latino people. Like, they kind of lump them together. They just start picking, and there's so little known about them, but so much lore about them, like Colombian neckties, or they'll kidnap your family. That's the things people know. Like, Mexico has the highest rate of kidnappings in the world, pretty much.
Right.
So you can always throw that out there and scare middle America, rich America, people who are spending money to watch movies, to scare them with that. Like,
if they cared about that market, they would kind of offset any bad language or bad interpretations of Mexico with something good, where they could be in the middle of a store, like in a bodega somewhere, and then see, hey, look, they got those traditional Cokes with the real cane sugar, and then they drink it, like, ah, Mexico, you're okay in my book. But no, they don't know. It's just straight up Mexicans are the worst. Like everything in these movies. It's just weird to think that the main point of operation for all this is in a city where you have to drive at least 12 hours to get from the border. Like it's nowhere near the border of Mexico.
I know
maybe
that,
the people
Atlanta,
up north.
Atlanta is
you have to get through Baton Rouge to get there.
I know, but you're driving through traffic.
No, but transportation-wise, Atlanta is a major hub because not just, air. It's the business airport. Oh, yeah. But when you're driving also, a lot of trucks and a lot of stuff comes out of Atlanta that hit, you could hit I-10, you could hit going up to New York. It's a big, on ground transportation.
Right, but it is ground. But the problem is, it's landlocked. Like, you can't. It's hard. If you can get into there, it's fine. If you can land a plane there without the cops finding insurance, you can distribute how you want. But just get it there is the hard part.
No, I don't think so.
Soy Delta.
You got Florida, the whole Florida, You got the whole Florida panhandles, and you're just going to get a boat in the Gulf of Mexico, get on land, and ship it to Atlanta, then there you go.
I mean, that's the hard part of the shipping.
Not
too.
That I ever did that.
No. Getting it off the water is not a problem. Getting it into the land is the hard part. I mean, buku drugs run from here to Houston. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but that's a whole lane, but that's where most people get busted too, driving drugs from here to Houston. Driving drugs is the hard part.
Well, you heard they we don't know when this podcast is going to be released, but recently from the time we're doing this podcast, they busted $1 million worth of drugs in Port Allen.
Port Allen. But that's coming
on the interstate,
Because that's the line. That's one of the big lines down here. But that's at least that whole line is still an hour away from water. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they had to bring that an hour in from somewhere and then take it 4 or 5 hours another way. That 4 or 5 hours is the trouble. But like when you got a straight take a 8 to 9 to 12 hour drive, that's a day. That's a day drive because you can't speed, you can't do this, you got to stop at some point.
And all those people that they always have with cars in tow, mm-hmm. you notice the ones that they're using in tow don't have AC. They always have the windows down.
Right.
They may not even have radio. This could be just as bad as the old way to drive. You're just dealing with the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not want that distraction for their drivers whenever they're bringing in cars into Mexico. So that may be just something that they've created.
I don't know if this make a difference, but in the movie, the drugs that they actually, when they raided the projects, the drug they actually caught was confiscated was liquid meth, which can be manufactured anywhere. It doesn't have to come from Mexico, but the Mexico cartels have taken a more of an interest into meth because, it's
people use it.
You know, so I don't know if that also played in the part of being in Atlanta because they could just manufacture anywhere.
Plays the part of being in Atlanta because the same reason they film a movie than Baton Rouge.
Yeah, they
give them cuts and they got plenty of space.
Yeah, they get
the tax break everybody in Hollywood has moved from Baton Rouge over to Atlanta. Atlanta's now the new Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever you think Atlanta, nobody's thinking Mexican cartel.
No.
Like you think
absolutely not. That is not an ethnicity that is represented in Atlanta.
It's still the black people city.
Yeah. I'm trying to think when you say Atlanta, the first thing that comes to my mind is strip clubs.
What does it mean?
They definitely met at a strip club in there.
Yeah. They really were. What was that, King of Diamonds over there? Magic City.
Yeah.
They got some raggedy ones, too.
Yeah, of course.
This movie, the Sabotage that we watched, was clearly something that would have been hard to watch in a theater, but totally fine on video and or a YouTube video that we saw sped up, which is perfectly fine.
You know what? Okay, this is the first time I've watched a movie sped up like that.
Yeah,
with y'all. Mm-hmm. I think it might be the first time I really did it because I always had this notion of that. Oh, well, I'm gonna miss something. I didn't miss shit.
Not the movies we watched.
Sped up. We're only doing it one point a quarter.
If you're doing it
2.0, then
there's no speech at that point. But there's no you can't hear anybody talk. But still, it's. What amazed me about both these movies, when they did a slow-mo scene, it was so slow. So, like, at real speed, how slow was that shit? It was way long. It was just,
right.
It's a much nicer way to watch a movie. I didn't miss anything. Especially, like, the last one, I was like, I forgot it was sped up at all. Like, it was still a great pace. Which,
I mean, it made Arnold sound normal. We missed his whole, like,
yeah, accent. We missed his southern accent that he had in this film because he's a native Atlantean. the way that all Atlanteans speak. They had the same problem in The Last Stand, from what I understand, because he was supposed to be a hometown sheriff in, what, Texas?
Yeah. That's every Schwarzenegger. I think that has to be just the joke of Schwarzenegger movies. It's like, he always plays an American guy like Commando and Predator.
From the 80s,
he's been a cop named John Smith or something, like,
right.
The most American, blandest human being ever. And it's like, he's done. I used to get with my family. What the fuck are you like? Why didn't you just sell that? Like, dude came from some shithole across the water.
Or just say, like, when he was younger, he was just deaf for, like, about 20 years.
Yeah. Wow. Well, then they just get Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, they can do that, too.
But, no, even that, be like, why can't he just have immigrant parents? I wouldn't care if he was immigrated here as a child and got into the American system. But your parents feels like, that's that. But don't tell me he was born fucking in Atlanta under an American flag.
Yeah, it's like two sentences that you can
write. You could say he was born.
Just have
in
like
Atlanta.
An Austrian flag in the background somewhere. That's like
Austria. Yeah, the Austria anywhere, but just like don't. Even like if somebody has parents, they're gonna sound like their parents. If his parents came from Austria, you know, if every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, like, his parents came from Austria and he's been living here since he was a baby, and his name's John Thomas, and it's like cool, but he had to listen to his parents talk all the time. That's why he's got that accent. All right, I believe that, but not this. Like, he's been saying the pledge since birth. Like, no, this motherfucker's not from here. We get it. Whoever who spoke around him didn't speak English worth a damn.
This might be one of the rare matchups that we have here where I almost feel like changing both the titles. We've done this before. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in it that really feels like this is Sabotage.
I mean, this movie was more double crossed.
It was very double crossed. Both of them.
The title of the book this is based on is called And Then There Were None. And maybe it's too much foreshadowing that happens for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And sorry if you guys aren't aware of what happens in this. There aren't a lot of people that live in this movie at all.
Boy, do they die. Mother.
They die a lot. So, yes, there's double crossing that happens, an unnatural amount of it, I guess.
It was double cross. I didn't feel a lot of sabotage. It wasn't a lot of, when people set up other people, but it wasn't like they hurt themselves in the process.
Right.
That's kind of what it, or I guess you hurt others, but it's a long trap that you didn't do well. If it's supposed to be sabotage.
I also feel like most Arnold Schwarzenegger films should just be titled
Gargoyle 2.
not a tumor.
Gargogenesis.
Get down.
But since we've already come up with a better chess title for the first film, where we can Queen Takes Queen? Is that
Queen
it?
Queen Takes Queen.
I think Queen Takes Queen.
You want to just go Checkmate?
Checkmate.
Yeah, it's pretty boring, but I mean, it was so chess.
Stalemate?
Check and mate.
Since we had a character named Castle, what about Castling?
Castle.
There are several Castle films down. Named Checkmate that have come out in the past year. One got a 3.1 starring Danny Glover.
Nice.
Six people are thrown together during an elaborate bank heist where they... Any move can alter the outcome. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that sounds like a chess thing.
I still like Queen Takes Queen.
Okay, Queen Take Queen.
Bishop, bish down.
Now, on there, it was like Pawn Takes Queen. I don't know if that'd be worth it at all if we take their tagline.
Didn't the queen actually call Carrie Ann Moss the pawn?
Yeah.
Oh, the pawn! And it just got shut?
Yeah. He didn't want to be taken out by the pawn. He wanted to be taken out by
pawn takes
the
all.
Star player.
Pawn takes all.
Was it when a pawn makes it to the end of the board?
You can pick
and becomes a queen. So what is that? What is that called?
That's called going through the transition.
But you could be a queen, a bishop, a knight, or rook.
I can't play chess for shit.
But most people just go in and pick queen because you know why would you pick you know those other ones when the queen could do all their fucking moves. Right.
It's called promotion. That's what it's called. Should we call this movie promotion?
Yes. Yeah, promotion. I think with that title, if you don't know what that means, you're gonna learn by the end. I know a lot of people don't like that, but it'd be like, so that's what happens.
There are the promotions, but there is not just promotion.
Promotion.
That actually works.
Involved.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, I think we're good with that. All right. Cool. Yeah, so that pretty much ends it. Mark Dacascos, we still love you. We changed your other film as well from Drive to Overdrive, I think is what we called it instead. But yeah, your film is now called Promotion. anybody want to promote anything that's coming up in their lives? Anything of any significance?
No, I'm just shout out to my boy David for getting married. That's
engaged. He's engaged.
Yeah, that too.
This podcast will come out before he gets married.
Okay? Maybe. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know, man.
That's true. They could have gotten married at the beach.
You're keeping it quiet, you know? I'm just saying.
I would totally, like, I understand his family probably would want a huge wedding. So
it's going to be an expensive wedding.
Yeah. Very expensive,
and
yes.
And I'm glad
so,
for it.
Yeah, so.
Because I'm going to be there at the wedding reception eating up everything.
But I could totally see him just like, while he's over there, just go ahead and getting married. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Let's just go ahead and knock this shit out.
Yeah. Let's just go
ahead. That's fine. We'll party with him. He didn't have to have a big deal.
I still have 500s and ones. So 500 and ones. I think we need to go to a strip club.
Well, we can't take him, the newlywed. That's weird. Unless she wants to go, which is also weird. After if he's married now.
If they're married.
I'm talking. If you're talking about bachelor party,
that's a bachelor party.
If you're talking about if he fucking around and got married while he's out there, like, well, you missed out on an awesome bachelor party.
We probably need to coordinate with, Michael. That'd probably be the guy, Michael Johnson. It's that dude that was in our group for like a hot minute before he became
that guy.
Yeah.
I've seen him a while. Yeah,
that guy.
No, Michael, I haven't seen him. He's a professional also.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. He did one of our spoof nights, and he didn't speak here the entire time because we yelled.
Can we do Independence
Direction.
Day? He did this costume for it.
Wait, which
Oh,
right?
Shit, yeah, it had to have been Independence Day because he did that whole costume.
Which
That's
night?
Right.
Hmm? Which spoof night was it?
Independence Day.
I was there
because he did one of the alien like tentacle.
Yeah, he did like the tentacle.
Okay. But he didn't speak. Okay,
because we spoke a lot.
Wait, right. Isn't that the guy who came to some of y'all improv groups? And okay,
sure did. All right. I think we got another one of these under wraps for Robert Rao.
Wait, real quick. Who dropped ass? That's my.
Oh, you got that.
We're changing that. Yeah. Sabotage. Your name is now Who Dropped Ass.
That's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger Sabotage. Who Dropped Ass.
Yeah.
Yes.
For There Can Be Only One Podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
Mike, regular name Honore.
Good night, everybody.
Later.
Yay.
I think that he actually wrote it. Basically,
I don't. That's a very good question. I'm not entirely sure.
I mean, how big is this? In your estimate, since you got a little bit more history with me, do you think he has like a team put together? Like,
wait, what happened?
All right, so for Buttnumathon, we did an entire episode where Herman filled out the application with me. He has agreed to go to, if we get selected, he has agreed to go to Austin and watch movies for 24 hours.
I was roofing.
Yeah, and one of the things we had to do was dress up. In our post-apocalyptic world, what would we be? And he would be Omega Primal. He took off the little fuzzy thing at the top of that helmet, and I wore like, and I was the I was the salty otter, and we just. Yeah, that, exactly. That's perfect.
that works for you.
Just the mohawk. That's exactly what it was. And so one of the things that we had to do was watch the movie. The other thing is we had to dress up like what we would be for our post-apocalyptic world. And so we filled it out. And this past week we got a confirmation email saying that he got our application. And I've never gotten that.
They just usually say yay or nay, and this time they sent a confirmation?
Yes, they actually said, like, hey, we got your. We'll tell you early November if you got in or not, which is when it happens. But I knew we had to fill this in as quickly as possible because I'd forget, and then if we made it in at the end, those have never worked out. So I've been twice, and I've filled it out like 10 times.
Right. Maybe that helped that we sent it in early this year.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It's like to come in as early as possible, just so he knows that we're there, and maybe we'll get in now. This doesn't mean like we're gonna see anything great. I have no idea what's coming out. Like around that time, I would say you're looking at late December stuff that comes out. Like they have the new Scorsese film. That could be it.
You got Passengers.
Passengers could easily be it as well. You're looking at things that got at the last second for Oscars. So maybe The Founder. Not like Die Hard films to see. Like it would be nice to see John Wick 2, but I don't think that's an option.
It would be nice if they show Resident Evil early. I know it come out in January. That'd be nice because I really want to see that. Just
to see him finish it.
Yes.
Because God, please stop making those god awful movies. Yeah. The first couple were fine, and then they really got real bad, real hard to watch.
I mean, she done made her money off of it. What's her name? Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich.
I mean, her husband directs them, so.
Yeah. What's weird is there's another Underworld film coming out, and Kate Beckinsale and her husband were the ones that were in, her husband directed those as well. I think he's off the picture now.
Well, who's her husband? Was it the werewolf?
Paul W.S. Anderson. You're talking about Scott Speedman,
the one who played the hybrid.
Yeah, no, was that who was her husband?
I know is Paul Tompkins plays his voice all the time on the show, so on Comedy Bang Bang, and I gotta look it up. But yeah, her husband, like, they're not together anymore. So
I remember that thing. Well, because it's a lot of people on that show too. Well, a lot of those people seem to be friends and family when they made the first one. Because like the big black werewolf. He was one of the writers, one of the creators.
Oh, he was?
Yeah,
I did not.
With
know
the
that.
Crazy voice, like the scary
Len
people.
Wiseman.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but the big werewolf black dude with the deep crazy scary voice. Mm-hmm. He was.
You trying
he was
to say
one of the
big
writers.
Black werewolves are kind of.
I know. I'm saying he was all of those things. Yeah. Yes. A big black werewolf is insanely scary.
Okay.
Yeah. No. A big white werewolf is also scary. Just a werewolf.
But Michael J. Fox werewolf? No.
No. If you're doing handstands on top of vans, wearing leather jackets, I kind of not. Yeah. Whatever.
It looks so adorable.
Yeah, he didn't scare an entire town when he werewolfed in the middle of a basketball game. Why should I be scared?
Right.
I really want to redo. I'd like to see him redo that movie, like where they have the same feeling up to that point, and then it turns into a straight up horror film.
Right.
Like it just switches completely, like a reverse from Dusk Till Dawn, where it turned into like a weird comedy after What's Your Name Dances.
I admit, because I'm gonna use my excuse that I got teenage daughters. I did watch the MTV reboot of Teen Wolf. and it's pretty decent. And
it's a teen drama, though.
Like I said, I got teenage daughters.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a different
vibe.
You
could be forced to watch something a lot
worse.
Yes,
Rob, but that's what I be do is forced to watch everything on Sundays, especially. Right,
right. You have that? At least you have an excuse. Yeah. I just watched Teen Wolf, the new one, because I have no teenage children. Uh-huh. I was just like, I want to see how shirtless this boy can get. And he does. But he's hairy. Does that make it weird when he turns into a werewolf? I think it makes it less creepy.
No, okay.
I'm just checking. I was trying to.
You look at animals, that's perfectly fine.
What's that? I mean, I'm going to stop.
You work in the vet, so, you know.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of weird animals. Yeah, fine. Yeah. I've seen pretty.